All right. Well, hey, good evening, everybody. I'm glad you guys came to this training. We used to call it Midnight Madness, so my mind still has Midnight Madness, but we will not be here till midnight, at least Central Time. So, thank you guys for joining us. My name is Peter. I'm on staff at our downtown campus. I've been on staff since 2010, started at the Faith Center Spring Branch, came over to the Loop campus, and then we launched downtown in fall of 2011, and then transitioned there full time in 2012. So just a quick intro for me. I would love to know, before we even dive in tonight, who's in the room. So if you're from the Loop, maybe give us a shout. Loop campus. All right. Awesome. Siena. Anyone from Siena? All right. Awesome. Cypress. We got Cypress. Nope. They're all in the suburbs. It's okay. And then downtown. I see my downtown crew back there. So fantastic. And then the second thing I would love to just, you guys could just popcorn style it. What is your role in Life Bible Study? You guys can just throw it out. What is your role in your current Life Bible Study?
Director.
Directors, great. More directors? Sorry? Group coordinator, okay, great. Any other roles in the room? Just directors, group coordinator?
Social committee.
Social committee, fantastic, all right. Gather, you said gather too? Okay, great. Give, all right, great. Well, it's really fun to be with you guys. Want to introduce myself again a little bit more. So this is my family. My wife and I, Karenie, have been married since 2014. We have three children, so we call ourselves Team Lee. Nothing too creative. But you see on the left photo is my son's most recent birthday. He just turned 9. You see us on vacation, and we made a pit stop at Costco because we love going to Costco. So if you want a lot of good treats for your kids at an affordable cost, go to Costco for sure. And then our most recent vacation, we went to the DFW area, and there's actually a video game museum over there. So my boys and my daughter do not have a video game console, but my brother-in-law does. So anytime he comes by, they're begging for video games, but we thought it would be fun to check out the video game museum. So if you've got nephews, nieces, grandkids, that's a fun place to check out. As we dive in tonight, I'm sure many of you guys starting out the new year, maybe if you have a family or if you like to travel, I'm sure you've had a conversation of, hey, what are we going to do this year in 2025? I know my wife and I have looked at my schedule, her schedule, and we've said, what are the vacation dates that we're planning? So as a family, we don't usually travel very far, but not too long ago, we did get to go on vacation, and we got to go to Orlando and visit her family, her extended family. And what's nice is during COVID, they had given employees an option to say, you could either see if you have your job and potentially get laid off, or you can take early retirement and we'll give you for life every year X number of Disney tickets, X number of family passes. So my wife's aunt took that option. So when we visited her family unexpectedly and unknown to us, they said, hey, we have extra tickets. You guys can go to Disney for free. And so we felt like VIP. We were driving into Disney. We're following her. She said, just follow me. We was like, okay, we don't know what's happening. So she talked to the attendant and he said, okay, y'all are good to go. We didn't pay for parking. And then once we got settled, we just had to, enjoy the park. So that was an amazing trip. And we knew right away driving into Disney that we were going to have a fantastic day. How did we know that? Well, the parking lot was clean. There were parking lot attendants literally telling you where to park. Once you get out and you get your family settled, there's signs saying shuttles that way. So every step of the way at Disney, if you have not been there, is already pre-planned for you before you even arrive to say, how can we allow this family to have a phenomenal experience? And that's what it was for us. Now, not on this vacation, but a few years before that, it was just me, my wife, and my oldest son at the time. We went to another amusement park, which I will not name. And I knew from the moment we drove into the parking lot, it would not be a good day. And these are not real photos, but this is what it felt like. So literally, the trash cans were overflowing from the day before. I'm not exaggerating. They were not cleaned out. There was no parking attendants telling us where to go. There was no sign. So when we got out of the vehicle, we literally didn't know where to go, except, okay, well, the rides are that way, so let's just figure it out. And I kid you not, the entire day, we only got to ride one ride, because they kept breaking down or they were under construction. And the last ride that really just tipped it for us was we were in line for about an hour, 45 minutes, and we said, okay, well, at least this ride is open. And we were the next in line, and they said, we are so sorry, but this ride is malfunctioning. We cannot continue. So literally for 7 hours, you know, we saw a couple of maybe shows, ate a little bit, but we went on one ride. And we knew as a family, we would never return to that theme park ever again, right? So what was the difference between Disney and this amusement park? Systems, planning, right? Coordination, right? A lot of things probably went awry there. But like you guys said, Disney planned with purpose. Disney thought about every single detail, from the parking lot to how the lines are going to flow to when the show times will happen so that families can maximize that day together. And if this is important for the world, for things that don't matter for eternity, how much more is it vital for us as the body of Christ, as Life Bible Study leaders, to plan with purpose? We've already talked about it in our opening session together that the reason why our church exists is for the Great Commission. This is our mission as a church, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, that we're to go and make disciples of all nations, that we're to baptize them and teach them to obey all that God has commanded us. And that is really what Life Bible Study is about, that we're to teach the body of Christ the Word of God so that they can obey the Word of God and then they can multiply themselves to others. So as Life Bible Study leaders, your reality is that you guys came probably from your homes or from your workplace, or maybe you had to drop off your kids with the sitter, but you all have personal commitments. You all have things that you are responsible to do during the week, and that's what God's called you to do. But you also have the second reality, which is as a part of Houston's First, God's given you a role to play in your Life Bible Study. And so as you guys think about the time you have with your Life Bible Study members, at best, if they are extremely consistent, you may see them 4 times a month. The average American who identifies as a Christian goes to church once a month. And that's considered consistent and regular. So think about the people on your roster in Life Bible Study. You may have 25, 35, 55 names, but how many come on a Sunday? Maybe 20. 25, right? People are always cycling in and out. So with the moment you have with your members, you have to maximize those ministry moments. So for tonight, here's our session overview. First, we're going to unpack and discover a simple and practical framework that you can use to effectively plan your Life Bible Study gatherings, whether that's a gather event to draw in new people and invite friends, whether that's a give event to go serve and use our spiritual gifts, whether that's a grow event to have midweek opportunities to grow together or go to a class retreat, whatever your context looks like, how can you use a simple framework to plan for these gatherings? As a bonus, you're going to have evaluation questions you can ask afterwards as well. Because what's the point of planning if we're not evaluating? Was that actually effective to do what we were trying to accomplish? And then finally, we're going to look at how do you prioritize your efforts with a decision matrix. A decision matrix is simply something that's going to help you evaluate what are our options and how do we prioritize what's most impactful, what is most important. Because again, all of you have outside commitments. So with the time that God's given you in Life Bible Study with your leaders, you have to maximize your decision making. And the bonus is going to be you're going to have a paradigm to better plan as a group. So that's where we're going to go tonight. And then the goal, what we want as the outcome, is this. One, we want to eliminate last minute and unfocused gatherings, right? How many times have you had something on your Life Bible Study calendar that you guys probably talked about maybe on a Sunday? Oh yeah, we'll do this in February. We're going to have a gather event. And yeah, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later. And then it's January 31st and you realize, oh, we have not planned for that February gathering. It's in 2 weeks. We haven't announced it. We haven't planned it, and now you're scrambling as a leadership team to get that plan. We want to eliminate those unfocused gatherings, and then we want to replace them with transformative ministry experiences. That we believe every time the body of Christ gathers together, every time you have a Life Bible Study moment, there is an opportunity for transformation. And so that's what we are aiming for tonight. So let's start with this framework to effectively plan your Life Bible Study gatherings. A framework is an acronym, which Baptists love, and this is POPSB. So POPSB is the acronym. On your handout, you guys will have fill-ins that we're gonna unpack each of these letters. So the first one is prayer. Then it will be followed by objectives, followed by planning, then schedule, and then budgets. So POPS B is prayer, objectives, planning, schedule, and budget. And we're going to look at each of those one at a time together. So the first one is what Pastor Chris talked about tonight, prayer. Do we saturate our life Bible study moments, whether that's Sunday Bible study, whether that's lunchtime afterwards, whether that's a gather event or a give opportunity or a midweek small group in your home? Do we saturate those moments before you arrive with prayer? Not just once you arrive and say, oh, we're starting in 5 minutes, let's pray. Okay, let's go. No, is your leadership team so aligned that you are proactively praying on your own during the week? And then when you come together, that's kind of the bow on the ribbon, right? It's okay, we've all prayed on our own. We understand what we're trying to accomplish. And now we are ready to allow God to do what he wants to do in this moment. This is a quote that I heard a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me. And it's on your handout. It says, operating each gathering, Bible study, service project, or evangelistic outreach without measurable saturation in prayer will lead to powerless positioning and weak results. I was reading in my quiet time this past week in Genesis, and there's an incident with Jacob and Esau, where Esau is now returning. Jacob is terrified, so he starts devising a plan so that when his brother returns, in case something bad happens, he's got a backup plan. But what's interesting about that passage is it's not until later that he actually prays to God. How often do we plan first, proceed, oh God, let me say a quick prayer, please bless it. Instead, we ought to be praying first. And so that's something that Pastor Greg instills to our staff, that we ought to pray, plan, and then we proceed, not proceed, plan, pray, or whatever else you want to do in whatever order, right? So what are we asking God to accomplish? That is the question you're asking for that prayer section. What is something only God can do that we cannot? We cannot save people's souls. We cannot soften hearts. We cannot renew minds. We can be faithful. We can be prepared. But only God can work in an individual's heart and soul to draw them closer to him. Are we praying for that supernatural component that we cannot muster or plan? What is God's part to play in this blank, in your Bible study, in your gathering, your give opportunity, etc.? And then also, what are you asking God to do? So God, well, because we're doing this blank, if we see your spirit move, this is what we hope to see happen. God, we pray that marriages would be strengthened. God, we pray that single adults would leave with greater understanding of their identity in Christ. God, we pray that senior adults would see that they are people of influence to impact their families. What are you praying for God to do so that later, weeks from now, months from now, you can see how God answered that prayer? So that's what that prayer section is all about. Then once you have done that, not just individually, but as a team, to say, this is where we want to be unified in prayer, the next one is objectives, right? Why are we doing this blank? And sometimes we get so used to life Bible study that we just kind of take things for granted. Oh, we're going to lunch because, well, we always do lunch afterwards. Oh, well, we're doing that give project because it's once a quarter. And we don't ask the question, why are we actually doing this? What is the goal so that when I and our class members go and be a part of this experience, what is the goal that we are trying to accomplish? Those are the objectives. So those are some questions you could ask yourselves. What do we want to happen during this blank? What are the desired outcomes? How do we envision this reaching the lost, changing lives, etc.? Whatever the objective is, not only do you have to know that, but your leadership team has to know those objectives, right? The right hand has to know what the left hand is doing. So do you guys have a unified objective or objectives for each of these opportunities? Third is what's going to probably take the most amount of time, depending on the size and scale of what you're doing. This is planning. Planning is everything you could think of, right? Who will plan this? It's not enough to say we're going to do a retreat in October and then go figure it out. Okay, well, who's going to talk to the minister about booking a retreat center. By when will they do that? Okay, who's going to look at our class roster and think, what is a realistic attendance for that retreat? Based on past attendance, based on current attendance, what's realistic? Okay, well, last year we went to this retreat. We went in October. Did that yield good turnout? Oh, no, we had a conflict with that. Maybe we need to move it to November, right? So these are all the things you're thinking about in planning. Very practical things. Even something subtle in Houston, like parking and transportation, right? We are so scattered. Your members are all scattered throughout the city that you might think, oh, this event works for our circle, so let's do this at so-and-so's house, not realizing half of your group's going to have to drive 45 minutes to get there to an hour. They're probably not going to make it, right? So are you thinking about logistics even in, hey, they're going to probably leave work around 5-ish. They're going to have to stop home, see their kids. Are you thinking about all those details versus being like, how come no one came into a 5:30 event on a Monday night? Well, they probably couldn't get there, right? And for downtown, especially in our context, parking is not a given, right? So if I say, hey, we're going to have a gather event at this restaurant, I better go scout out that restaurant first and make sure there's ample parking, or I'm going to tell my group beforehand, hey, there's not enough parking, meet at the downtown campus for free and let's carpool together. Do you think through those details so that people don't have any barriers to being a part of that event? Even something like when they arrive, especially if it's at someone's home or on campus, what is the theme or the mood that we want people to experience that night? We had a men's football event at our campus not too long ago. So we know that guys are not going to be, you know, holding hands and praying together in circles, right? Guys are going to be shoulder to shoulder, looking at the game, right? They want good food, right? So we're not going to have the same elements as a women's event, right? And so how you think about who are we trying to target is also going to impact those details in all of these avenues as well. After you think about planning, next is schedule. Schedule is including setup, right? What time do we need to arrive to get there and set up? Are we going to have background music? Pastor Greg's answer is yes, have background music, right, at all times. If you saw me earlier, this was taking longer than expected, and then I was like, okay, let me turn on some background music because that's what we want to do, right? We want to create the mood. What is the flow even from before the event starts? So, okay, we're going to set up at 6 o'clock for that Tuesday night gathering at Susie's house. People are going to start arriving at 6:45. So are we going to have people outside in the driveway? There's going to be newcomers. They might have the address on their Google Maps, but they've never been here. Maybe we should have a greeter outside, right, to wave some people down. Then once they come in, what are they going to do next? Well, are we going to have dinner first? Well, then let's have it obvious so that this is the dinner area. Let's have some signs that say, hey, please grab a plate, go to the backyard, because they've never been to that house before. You might know Susie's house really well, but Johnny doesn't know that you guys go to the backyard by the pool and have dinner before Bible study. So are you thinking about the flow, and are you creating margin for interaction to happen there as well? After that, how much time do you need at each of those segments? And oftentimes we are not realistic with our planning, and then we wonder why this event went an hour over, right? And now people are frustrated, they're upset because now they have to call the babysitter because I'm going to be an hour and a half late. So you have to really be realistic about the timeline and give margin. So for this evening, I have 1 hour with you guys. I didn't plan an hour of content, right? I knew something like this would happen. You're going to have conversation. So having margin in your schedule so that you can stay on time is very important. And then, of course, even something like cleanup. How many times do you see the one or two people that are faithful, they're always cleaning up? No, how about we have a team of people that clean up and say, hey, you handle that, I'll do this, and we'll be out of here in 15 minutes, right? So now people want to return, people want to serve. And then finally, budgets. Most of your class gatherings, I assume, will be free, but that doesn't mean that there's no cost associated. So thinking through with your leadership team, with your minister over your area, okay, we can do this event for free because it's on campus. You know, we're going to be on the lawn. This is a summit event. We don't have to worry about cost. That's okay. But what about that Thursday night monthly dinner? Are we asking people to bring a potluck? Are we preparing the main course, but people bring sides? What are the expenses that we really need to understand? And again, so that the burden doesn't fall on just the host. How many times has the host been the one to pick up the receipt and now they're carrying all of that, right? So as a leadership team, thinking, how can we have our class contribute? Even if it's to say, hey, can you bring a side? Can you bring a drink? Can you bring the plates? What does that look like practically? And if there is a cost, again, talking to your minister, is there a budget for that? Or do we need to figure out how to recoup costs associated? So that is what the POPSB framework looks like. And here is a quick case study from our campus a couple years ago. So we had a downtown women's conference, and these were the prayer and objectives. Oftentimes your prayer and objectives will align often, they'll overlap. But again, you're also inserting what are the things that only God can do. So these were our prayer and objectives. We want to see spiritual growth and discipleship for believers. We want to see relational connection across age and stage. We want to have assimilation of new women that are going to the event that have never been there before, but were invited for them to get assimilated and connected for next steps at the campus. And then we're also praying for salvation, right? We can't plan for salvation, but we can create the environment for God and the gospel to go forth. So those are our prayer and objectives. What was our planning? So for spiritual growth and discipleship, we said, okay, we're going to have main sessions in the worship center. We're going to have Bible teaching and worship. And we're also going to have journals for note-taking, which someone needs to purchase on Amazon, right? We're going to have small group discussion groups in the back of the worship center. So after every main session talk, we're going to have 9 tables, 6 people per table. We're going to have group leaders. Here's the 9 people that we're going to recruit, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to use the discussion questions from the speaker's book. So for each of these sessions, here's what we're going to reference for that. Relational connection. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have discussion groups at each table. So our goal is to let them stick at the table the whole time. We'll have conversation prompts so that the first night is not awkward. We're also going to have meals at the tables. So we planned out our Friday night dinner, our Saturday breakfast. Here's the point person. Here's what we're going to bring for drinks. Assimilation of new women. So on the registration form, we had questions to discern who are these women. So we said, are you a part of downtown campus? Yes, no. If no, boom, how did you hear about this conference? Who invited you? Would you like more information about Life Bible Study? Would you like to speak with somebody about salvation, membership, etc.? So we're trying to discern based on registration, who are the new people to assimilate them. And then afterwards, we assigned women who are members of the church to say, hey, here's the 3 new people at your table that are new. Can you contact them afterwards and say, thank you for being with us. We'd love to see you at our women's class or our next women's event. And again, we assigned small groups with intentionality. It wasn't just show up and sit with your friends. It was, okay, you 3 ladies are going to be at this table. Here's the 3 ladies that are new. You 3 ladies are going to be at this table. So we're inviting people into that intentional space. And then we're saying as they release for the conference, hey, the next thing for the women's ministry is going to be in blank. Hey, we have a women's life Bible study on Sunday. We hope to see you there. Here's Judy. Judy's the director. Edna's the teacher. We love to answer your questions. So we're thinking about how do we assimilate them into the campus. Number 3 were all the miscellaneous stuff. Okay, what is our expected attendance? Okay, we're gonna have a band. Well, Lisa's gonna recruit for that. Where we have production, okay, Jeff's gonna be the point person. All the setup, Amanda, supplies, Kathy, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So those are all the miscellaneous stuff that needs to be thought through. And then the schedule, which I didn't put Saturday just for brevity, but we had a setup time, and then for Friday, same thing, setup, who's gonna do what, when, et cetera, et cetera. Notice, again, where we oftentimes struggle is in those big buckets. So when it says worship and breakout, we didn't just say worship and breakout. It was 7 to 7:15, worship through music. 7:15 to 7:35, message, right? So you need to break down those large segments. Otherwise, you guys are going to be very lost at the event. Are we supposed to be transitioning right now? I don't really know. Oh, we've been talking for an hour. We have 20 minutes for Bible study. Oh, we got 10 minutes for prayer. Right, and now people are scrambling. So you got to have a plan of what is the actual schedule all the way through cleanup. And then finally, budget. We said, okay, based on these 50 ladies coming, based on our registration timelines, we expect to get about $2,000 in revenue. We have other expenses beyond this, but that's going to come from women's ministry budget. These expenses will come from this revenue. So we broke it down by food, how much does the book cost, journal, etc. So now we can see later, how do we do on budget? Did we overestimate, underestimate? How can we improve for next time? And that's the evaluation stage. So on your handout, there's several questions that you can ask for evaluation with your team. And you could add to that list as well. So that's not exhaustive. You guys may have even better questions. But you do want to have evaluation within 1 or 2 weeks after the event. If you wait too long, you're going to forget all the things that happened. So every major downtown event we have, the next Monday in staff meeting, we're evaluating all of these things, right? Here was the prayer objectives. What actually happened? How can we do better next time? So as a leadership team, pre-decide and pre-plan, hey, we're doing this Friday night gather event. Let's meet 2 Sundays from now at Lupe and debrief, right? Because otherwise you're going to just go to the next event and there's going to be no evaluation that happens. And it's not to say it's all going to be bad. You're going to celebrate, hey, this was a win. This was accomplished. God moved in that person's life. So celebrate those wins and then go to, okay, now what can we do better next time? So that is the framework of POPs B and that bonus of evaluation. Any questions on that framework before we continue tonight? Any questions on POPs B or evaluation? Okay, great. So now we're going to learn how do we prioritize our life Bible study efforts with a decision matrix. And we're going to look at one decision matrix, which I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with. It is the 4 quadrants. So this comes from a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The author is not a believer, but we believe that all truth is God's truth, right? So that we're going to take the nuggets of truth in there. And so one of the things that he talks about in this book is how do you assess your usage of time? Again, all of you have schedules outside of Houston's First. So with the things that are coming on your plate week in, week out, how do you discern the best use of your time? This was actually attributed to Dwight Eisenhower and what he used as a decision matrix, and he called it the Eisenhower method, or he probably didn't. Someone probably coined it later. So here is the decision matrix that you guys also have on your handout. You're looking at these 4 quadrants. So the first quadrant is what is urgent and important? What are the things that I must do next, right? So it's Friday night. If you're a Life Bible Study teacher, probably quadrant one is, have I finished my lesson, right? That's more important than next Thursday's gathering. That's more important than, you know, April's retreat. As the teacher, I need to make sure Sunday's lesson is complete. As a director, it might be, have I called all my leaders about Sunday logistics? Hey, this Sunday is going to be different. We are going to do teaching, but we're going to have extended prayer afterwards. We need you guys to be prayer partners. Or, hey, this Sunday, we're going to go to lunch. Who are the 2 leaders that are going to lunch so that there's at least somebody there meeting the group, right? That's your quadrant one. What is urgent and important? Quadrant two is it's important, but it's not urgent. And this is that planning quadrant to say, okay, hey, we do have that retreat coming up in March. We need to start planning that retreat, but it's not due by Sunday. But we better start planning it because that thing is coming down the road, right? That's the urgent and important. Hey, we're going to have a semester of Thursday nights at Susie's house, and that starts on February 20th. We don't have a curriculum. We need to plan it out in the next couple of weeks. What is the actual curriculum? What do people need to buy to show up ready to go for that Thursday night? That's that planning quadrant. Quadrant three is it feels urgent to the person making the request or the circumstance, but it's really not important. And these are ones that are hard because these take discernment, right? So somebody says to you on Sunday morning, what is your name, sir? Benny? And Benny, what is your role in your class?
Assistant director.
Okay, perfect. So they say, hey, Benny, you know, this has been like my 4th time here, and I'm loving the Bible study, but you know, the kolaches are really cold, and I really wish you guys would have warm kolaches because it's really frustrating me. And Benny says, okay, well, Peter, thank you for letting me know that, you know, we do our best to bring kolaches on Sundays, and, you know, we have a rotation of people. But you know, yeah, we don't have a warmer here. Hey, could you help us with that? Or, you know, now I'm delegating it to Benny to figure it out, right? Because that's not something I need to worry about, right? So that's an example of delegating even back to the person and say, hey, do you want to help with that? Oftentimes I'll say, I'm okay. I'll just take the kolaches, right? So delegating or saying, hey, you know what? That is important to you. And I feel that urgency. Hey, I'm so sorry that nobody reached out to you about your mom passing away. That was a miss on our part. Hey, Michael's our prayer coordinator. We're going to get you on the prayer list. Michael, can you meet with Peter? We want to add him to the prayer list. So we're not saying everything is bad, but you have to discern, is that your job or can you delegate it to somebody else and empower them to carry it out? Because you can't do everything in your position. And then finally, It should be a fun quadrant. It's not urgent. It's not important. You don't have to worry about it, right? I'll just use loop-specific examples. Parking lot is always going to be a mess here. That's not your thing to worry about. It's not urgent or important to you, right? So just thinking about in your context, what quadrants do you normally operate in your life Bible study? Are you always on the urgent? Oh my gosh, there's a need. I got to drop preparing Bible study. Oh my gosh, I got to drop planning. And are you trying to meet all the urgent needs without doing the important things? So there's a couple of questions on your handout. They're really scenarios. So what I want you to do individually is look at those seven scenarios that you may encounter today as a life Bible study leader. Maybe you got a text even on the way here that was one of these scenarios. And what I want you to do individually is place each of those scenarios in what quadrant you think they belong. So you don't have to write out the whole sentence, but if you think number one belongs in quadrant one, put in number one. If you think quadrant or number two belongs in quadrant four, go to quadrant four. So take a minute on your own, write where do you think each of these scenarios would fall under this decision matrix, and then we'll come back together. All right, so here's one caveat to this exercise. Context is everything, right? So just because one scenario may not be urgent and important to one LBS group doesn't mean it's not urgent and important to somebody else. So if you have a, you know, and I'm from a staff level, I'll give you an example. So we have a class that for them, the room temperature really does matter because there's people with health issues. There's people that have to make sure that they have what they need. So for that class, I'm going to prioritize making sure the temperature is optimal, right? But for this class, they could bring a sweater. They're not, it's not going to affect them, right? So use context and common sense to discern in your context what is important, what is urgent, right? And it's okay if it's not all the same with everywhere else, okay? So as you went through that now, there's some reflection questions, and you could talk to the person next to you. Take about 2 or so minutes and just alternate. And again, be objective. Where does the majority of your time fall? Is it quadrant one and two? Is it somewhere else? Why or why not? And then what adjustments can you make to put first things first? That's the urgent and important. So talk and, you know, pair up next to you. Just take about 2 minutes and then we'll come back together. All right. Well, as you guys are wrapping up your discussion, I want to make one more caveat before we transition to the next section. So the extra caveat is this. Notice how many of you guys may be in the same life Bible study, maybe even married, and how you had differing opinions on the quadrants. Any of you guys have a conversation with your partner that you guys disagreed on the quadrant? Yeah, oh yeah, right. So that's normal, right? So the lack of agreement is normal. But what you need to do is, as a leadership team, get on the same page. Because if the director thinks this is important and urgent, but everyone else doesn't, that's a problem. Or if the gather leader thinks this is important and urgent, but everyone else doesn't, that's a problem. So when you guys have those tension points, those are not times to run away from the problem. It's to lean into the tension and say, okay, let's get on the same page as a leadership team. To us, this is important and urgent. To us, this is not important or urgent. So that's the goal. It's not to have groupthink. The goal is to have unity. Okay? So take note of those things where you're like, I think three of us are on the same page, but one isn't. Hey, let's hear their viewpoint, which leads to the bonus paradigm for tonight, which is think win-win. This is another thing from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So when you're planning with your life Bible study team, again, you are not always going to agree. You have differing experiences, differing gifts, different things that are important to you. And that's why God brought you together, right? That's why you're the body of Christ, right? So you need one another. You need diversity of thoughts and experiences. So this paradigm is going to help you when those things aren't in agreement. How do we do this in a way that honors God, but is ultimately effective for our group? So here's what this paradigm shows us. If somebody has high courage or conviction, right, about something, but they have low consideration for others, they become the steamroller. And the paradigm is I won and you lost. Hey, I'm the director. We're not going to go to that lunch spot because I don't like that menu. okay, well, sorry, I won't make any more recommendations, Mr. Director, right? That's a steamroller. You don't want to have a win-lose situation, right? You also don't want to have low courage and low consideration. Now that's a lose-lose. That's somebody who sabotages, right? And they're like, I don't care about this class. I don't care about you. I'm just checked out, right? You don't want to be that person either, right, in your class. The doormat is somebody with low courage, right? They don't want to have any confrontation. So even if I'm right, I'm not going to speak up. And they have very high consideration. Now they become the doormat. And instead of speaking what God's put in you and contributing into that group, you're just on the sideline and you become the doormat. The goal is to have high conviction about things that matter and have high consideration for others on your team. And now you become a partner, arm in arm for the gospel. Now that's a win-win. So especially if you are leading this event or class or conversation, you have to be very mindful of the group dynamics to say, hey, you know, Russell hasn't said anything today. Russell, what do you think about that idea, right? Because Russell may have high consideration, so he doesn't want to offend the group, but he's got a great viewpoint. Or, hey, Johnny, you know, I'm so thankful that you have such a passion for that, and I could tell that you really think this needs to happen. We're going to put it on the whiteboard. Let's get everybody else's viewpoint to see, are we in agreement, right? So you have to moderate that. But especially if you're the leader, you have to be very mindful. Am I the person who's just steamrolling everybody? Or am I the doormat, right? You're probably not going to be the person sabotaging because you wouldn't be here, right? But the goal is, how can we think win-win? And that doesn't mean you're going to have harmony on every decision, but at least people feel that there was a real conversation and real evaluation. Okay, this time that is the better decision for this reason. Let's go with that, okay? So that is thinking win-win. So here are some reflection questions you can talk with your neighbor. When making decisions and planning with others in your life Bible study, in which of these quadrants do you tend to operate and why? So some objectivity, right? And then, in what areas do I need to ask God for help to shift my paradigm to win-win? If I have not been operating in that paradigm, what do I need to do to get there? Because it starts with us individually before we can change somebody else. Okay, so talk with your neighbor for about 4 minutes, and then we will come back together. All right, well, thank you guys for having this discussion with your partner. Thank you for reflecting, because oftentimes we just don't have enough time in our busy lives to reflect and see what is the root issue of why I'm operating like that. So as we consider now reflection, we want to go from theory. We have about 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and then our host will give us some instructions. But we're going to put this now into practice, because it doesn't do you any good to have this theory and just leave here tonight and then put it on the shelf. So I thought about doing two things. I think we'll go with plan B. Plan A was gonna be, if you're with your LBS leadership team, to literally do this right now for your next upcoming event. But I think for the sake of the group, let's just do another case study. So is there a group in here, maybe you have two or three LBS leaders and you guys do have something coming up, like a midweek gathering or a retreat or a give opportunity? Anyone wanna be vulnerable? And we can do this exercise with your situation and the whole group can benefit. Anyone want to volunteer your team?
Fall retreat.
What's that?
Fall retreat.
Fall retreat. Okay. What's your name, ma'am?
Spoonie.
Spoonie. Okay. Awesome. And what is your class, LBS?
Connected in Christ Online Singles.
Okay. So I'm going to acronym that. Connected in Christ. Okay. And this is not good. I'll use the black one. Yeah. Here you go. And you said you have a class retreat coming up?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the date firm or is that a tentative?
Yes, firm.
Firm. Okay, so what is the date?
I don't know. It's the weekend before Halloween.
Okay, so.
It's intentionally the weekend before Halloween.
Okay, so we'll just assume 10, 24 to 25, something like that. Okay? So.
October, yeah, good job. 24, 25, 26.
All right, well, good.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. And you said this is a retreat. Okay. So, and again, this is a group exercise. So she's laying out the scenario. They're going to have a class retreat October. You said it's, sorry, is it 2 days or?
It's Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night, Saturday night, and leave Sunday night.
Okay.
It's a hunt.
All right. So, as a group, what are things that we could potentially be praying for, knowing the context that this is a class retreat, and this is what we want to put before our people? So what are, you guys could just throw it out. What are things we want to pray for?
The people coming.
Yes.
We have the non-church people would come. Invite friends.
Okay. So that there would be new guests. And specifically, maybe even non-believers, right? Okay. So, but what are we praying for those people? What do we want to happen?
They'll come.
Okay, so come. Anything else that you're praying for?
For their spiritual growth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other things we're praying for? Is it just about the new guests and non-believers? What else are we praying for?
That feel welcome, that they would feel welcome and want to come back.
Okay. So really we're saying for them to be impacted and return. Okay. Any other things we're praying for?
I'm specifically planning that my class will help me plan it.
Okay.
That they will be active participants and that they will tell me in a reasonable amount of time that they are or are not coming.
So really you're praying for buy-in from your LBS.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then beyond buy-in, what do you want to happen at the retreat for your LBS members? What are we praying for them?
Spiritual growth.
Spiritual growth, right? Because we talked about...
And
so for current LBS members, we also want them to have growth. And notice the more specific you are, the better, because spiritual growth for a non-believer is going to look different than spiritual growth for a believer, right? They need to taste and see that the Lord is good. This person needs to continue in that journey, right? So for the sake of time, let's cut it there, which is great. And now notice how this easily flows to objectives. So if we're praying for non-believers to come, for them to have spiritual growth, to be open to the gospel, for the Holy Spirit to move. If we're praying that they will be impacted and return. We're praying for buy-in from LBS members and for current members to grow. Now, what are the objectives for the retreat? What are the things that we are aiming toward as a goal?
Unity in Christ.
Okay, so we want to have unity. That's one objective. Anything else?
Community.
That's right. That's a good observation, right? Because it's an online mm-hmm. community, so
for
they don't have, yeah. Yeah, that's good. What other objectives would you guys want at the retreat? Mm-hmm. So a gospel-centered theme or emphasis. Okay, any other objectives? We want unity and community. We want the gospel to be proclaimed, for people to be changed. Anything else?
Fun?
Yeah, that's right.
Retreat.
We want to have fun, right? Hopefully, if you're going to a retreat, you're going to leave refreshed, right?
Yeah.
So you want to have fun. You want to have refreshment.
Yeah.
Say that again?
Relaxation time.
Yep, exactly. Yep, any other objectives? Or are you guys good? Say that again? Sure. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I think that's good for objectives, right? So now we looked at prayer objectives. Now this becomes planning. So, okay, if our objective is unity and community, what's the plan to do that? If our objective is for the gospel to be highlighted and emphasized, how are we going to do that? If our objective is fun and refreshment, how do we do that?
Delegate.
So, yeah, delegate, right? So here I would recommend you do one big bucket at a time, right? So first you want unity and community. So what are things that you can do to cultivate unity and community?
You want a good guest speaker.
Okay. I think we'll put that under the gospel-centered part.
Okay. So for you're going to do a service project while we're there.
Okay. So that's a fourth objective. So that's a
specifically the week
yeah.
before
place yeah. where you do like night.
Okay, good, good.
I think too, you've got to kind of figure out your communication cadence. Like, where, how is it going to start? It's going to start now,
right.
3 months before.
Yep.
Talking about it.
Yep.
Just how it seems like it would be a little, for me, it would be hard to do that online, you know, as far as like trying to get.
You would be amazed how good the planners are online.
Really?
We have a whole system. We open up Zoom, we share a document, everybody writes on the document. We are master planners online.
That's great.
That's interesting, yeah. We've been doing it since March of 2020. We went online in 2020, never came off.
So
who's gonna do what?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Who are the people? What are their tasks? Right? What's the deadline? Et cetera, right? So you guys are getting, you guys are seeing, right, how it flows. So as you now hit these objectives, you're going to unpack the plan, and this is going to take the longest time, right? And then, okay, if that's the plan, what's the schedule, right? So 10:24, who's going to show up at what time? Who's going to have what role, right? Who's going to, so you guys can plan out the schedule, and then, of course, budget is hopefully self-explanatory, but again, thinking through all the costs, right? So we're going to have registration to offset the costs. Are people needing to do anything once they're there? Do they pay there? Do they, what does that look like? So,
what about the people like the newcomers that
that's right. Scholarships. That's right. Yep. Are we going to have scholarship funds?
So we're almost everyone on our group.
Mm-hmm.
75% are on a very fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
Where they actually don't have enough to make it through.
Right.
So we've come up with some really creative ways.
Yeah.
We can run a retreat.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all, and that's going to help you figure out what is a realistic budget, right? All right. So right now, so that was a good exercise, guys. And again, I hope you guys can take this. On your handout, there is a blank section on purpose. So now you can take this with your LBS group. Whatever your next blank is, you guys now have a framework. And you could also be thinking, how do we think win-win as a group, right? Everyone has a voice. Everybody is a part of it, has buy-in. And as we wrap up tonight, I just want to encourage you that, again, what you're doing matters for eternity. And thank you guys for making time to invest in your life Bible study in your role. And I'm going to invite our host, and he'll give you guys some next steps.